And I'm not saying that it's a biblical 100%, but we believe this one, God helps those who help themselves. So I have to get out there and do what I can do, and then perhaps God can help me. God's a miracle worker. God can help you in whatever situation you're facing. God thrives in impossibilities. When you're in an impossible situation, God thrives there. There's many examples of that in Scripture. The first one that I think about is the crossing of the Red Sea. That was an impossible situation. That was going to be death for all of them because the enemy was coming behind. There was a mountain on each side. There was the sea in front of them. God was a God of impossibilities. He helped them. David, when he faced Goliath, he was the God of impossibilities. There was another time, one of the prophets, and he had a servant with them, and they were surrounded by the enemy, a sure death situation for them. And the prophet prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of his servant so he could see, but God was a God of impossibilities, and there was angels all around there, and God delivered them out of the situation. And so whatever situation you're in today, you might think it's an impossibility, and I could look at it and think, that's not such a big deal, but I'm not the one that's in it. You're the one that's in it. Sometimes we just don't know what to do, and that's frustrating when we don't know what to do, but we need to learn to call upon the name of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 22, I mean, you can turn over there this morning. We're going to start there, and I have a thought that I want to share with you, and I don't know just how it's going to come out and how this is all going to work out for us here today. But in this work of the Lord, God calls us all to work in His, to be a part of His army. God's not looking for a perfect army. He's looking for a willing army. God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for a willing heart. And we have many examples of that in Scripture, and we're going to look at some of those today. In fact, God is one that if you would look through Scripture, you would think He almost thrives on using misfits. Are you a misfit? You just don't seem to fit in anywhere. Nobody gets you. Nobody understands you. And there's just some odd things about you that put you into the classification of being a misfit. And you might be sitting here this morning, and you might think, I'm such a misfit. God could never do anything with me. God can use those that we classify as misfits, those that we classify as nobodies and nothings, those that we classify as there's nothing about them that they'll ever be able to do anything for God. They can't be of any value to the kingdom of God. But don't be mistaken, amen, by the power that we have in God, that God puts in us. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and this is a story of David when he fled to Adullam, and you would have to look at this story, the whole thing, a little bit farther, but he was fleeing, and he was running for his life, and there was some men that was with him, and they ended up in a cave. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And here's the ones that went there. Here's a bunch of misfits. These are people that came to David's rescue. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Father, we pray that you will bless the word today, bless the reading of the word. God, that as this word goes forth today, it'll be anointed by you, and the message that you have for us today, God, that you'll speak freely to us, that we'll receive it, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So David found himself in a rough situation, and he was fleeing for his wife, and he went into this cave of Adullam, I'll call it, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and then there were other people that joined him there, and there was people that joined him that was in distress, and it says everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, and discontented means bitter of soul, and they gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. Do you ever think and wonder sometimes why God has allowed the people to be in your life that are in your life? And you look at them and think, man, these people are nothing but a burden to society. These people don't have anything to offer. And it might be like David, these are people that are surrounding me. How many like to be around people that are in distress? Not particularly, because if you're up and you're feeling good and somebody's really distressed, depressed about something, that can tend to pull you down a little bit. You tend to try to stay away from people that are really distressed about something. But that was one kind of people that came to him, and those that were in debt. You know, how many like to be friends with somebody that's in debt? Well, not too many of us, because if you got a friend that's really in debt, there's a good possibility that he's going to be asking your financial assistance from time to time, and you're thinking, I don't have anything to offer them, and I just wish they would go somewhere else. And then he has those that were discontented, and I'm just going to make an analogy here. I might be pulling it out of context a little bit, but people that seem to be gathering around you are those that are bitter of soul. They have a hurt spirit within them. They have a spiritual hurt from some time ago, something that happened in their life by a well-meaning saint of God said something to them, said it in the wrong way. They were hurt spiritually. They were doing good on their march to the kingdom of God, and somebody just spoke a harsh word to them. And as they like to say, put them into their place. They're just discontented in soul. They're trying to serve God, but they're just struggling serving God. How many like to be around people like that? Not particularly. We don't like to be around people like that, because they're the ones that are going to talk negative, amen, about spiritual experiences. They're the ones that are going to talk negative about church, about the church you go to, discontented in soul. They're going to be talking negative about other people. They're not going to have much good to say about anything. And David found that himself gathered, these people were gathered to him, and he became the captain over them. Amen. We need to turn the situation around in our life. If you find yourself in a circumstance where you're surrounded by undesirables, look at yourself as being a captain over them. I'm going to take these undesirables and I'm going to make them into something great. I'm going to turn their life around. Now, we know that it's Jesus that turns their life around, but you can be that captain. You can be that leader that takes them from the distress that they're in and show them a better way, and you lead them to the deliverer. You can be the one that leads those people that are in debt. You can show them how to get out of the debt that they're in. You can be the captain over the one that is discontented or is bitter of soul, and you can take charge, and you can be of a spiritual help to them and lead them into victory. You can be the captain over them. And David did that, and there was with him about 400 men. We don't even really want one person in our life that would have all of the above mentioned that we just shared already here this morning. But David had 400 of them. 400 undesirables. Nobody else wanted them, but they joined themselves to David. And if you read the rest of the story, they went out and they did an exploit for the Lord. They had a great victory in a battle that they faced. Amen. And we can do that also in the kingdom of God. And I've been thinking about the church here over the years that it's been here. It'll be 63 years in July of this year. And in this community that we lived, that has been here in the community that we live, over the years there have been a lot of undesirable people in the community that have joined themselves to this church, and that this church has been able to do the things that it has done because we have taken in those that perhaps other churches would want nothing to do with them. In fact, one time many years ago, when Pastor Eastman was a part of the ministerial association here in Kane, one of those ministers, and it doesn't matter which church it was, I don't even know which one it was, they said, Pastor Eastman, your church has a place in this community because there's people that your church would take in that no other church would probably take in. Well, that's okay. Amen. We'll take the undesirables. We'll take those that are in debt. We'll take those in this church that don't have anything to offer us. We'll take those that don't have any education. We'll take those that are sick. We'll take those that are spiritually wounded and hurt, and we can become a captain over them. We can become a leader over them, and we can go out into the surrounding, into this town, into the surrounding communities, and we can do exploits for the Lord. Amen. Because Zechariah tells us, and that was shared in Sunday school this morning, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, I want this church to
grow in attendance. I want it to grow in the power and the might of Spirit, but I don't want it to be by something that we think we have done ourselves, and we have created this. We have caused this growth here because of what we've done. Amen. I want it to be something that the Spirit of the Lord does. Amen. Let God send in whoever He wants to send in. And these ones came and joined themselves unto David. Amen. We need to invite. We go into the highways. We go into the byways. We compel them to come in. There's people in the community that we live, as small as it is, they're undesirables. Nobody really wants anything to do with them. Yet we as churches say we're there to help those kind of people. We need to open up our arms. We need to open up our doors. We need to open up our hearts. Amen. And invite those undesirables in. Amen. Because God needs everybody. There's a lot of misfits in the army of the Lord. And for everyone that's sitting here today, don't be ever begin to think there's nothing that I can do for God. I got too much baggage. I have too many things in my past that are there, and they're just holding me down. Look at all the baggage that these people had, and they came to David, but yet they were able to go out there and lead him into victories. Amen. God's a God that works that way. God makes weak people, amen, spiritual giants, and we can look at that through the Bible. Amen. There's many examples in God's Word. God takes weak people and He makes them spiritual giants. Amen. It goes right along with what was taught in Sunday school this morning. God's not looking for the mighty. He's not looking for the noble. We have a scripture. Perhaps we'll share it later. But what God is looking for is willing hearts. And these people that joined themselves to David, they had willing hearts. They wanted to help him. They seen the dire situation that he was in, and they wanted to do what they could to help him to gain the victory. Amen. And we need to pray that God will send us people that want to see souls saved. Amen. God needs everybody. There's no misfits. There's no outcast in the army of the Lord. In the eyes of the people, yes, there's those that don't fit in. They're oddballs. But God can move mightily through an oddball, through a misfit, through somebody that society looks on as a nobody and nothing. God has done it time and time again in His Bible. Amen. In the Word of God. And so David, he was that shepherd boy. Amen. He was a nobody, and he became a spiritual giant. He was that shepherd boy that became a giant killer. He became a giant killer, that shepherd boy. And then David, with these men that we read about in 1 Samuel here, he guided and he mentored these misfits into mighty men of war who did wonders. Amen. Who experienced many victories. And so David, he arrived at the cave of Adullam. And if you look over in Psalms chapter 142, and I'm going to turn over there real quick. Psalms chapter 142, excuse me. Psalms 142, I could write all these scriptures out on paper so we could move along a lot faster. But this is a prayer. This is a psalm that David wrote when he was in that cave of Adullam. And so David arrived at the cave of Adullam, and he was in a dark point of his life, and he made a declaration here unto the Lord. And so when you get into a dark point of your life, you're in a low part of your life, you're in a difficult time of your life, you're at a crossroads in your life, and you have to decide which direction you're going to go, and it seems like everybody's against you. And David wrote this. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. We already know what the answer was because he sent those men to him. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. What is the complaint that you have today? Some people say, don't complain. Complaining's a sin. But in the sense that it's written here, he said, I poured my complaint out before him. I showed before him my, well, God knows me, God sees me, and if God wants to help me, he can help me. After all, it is what it is, and I don't have anything to say, and God's going to do what he wants to do anyway. That didn't stop David. He didn't think that way. He poured out his complaint before God. I showed before him my trouble. And then he said this here, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Has your spirit ever been overwhelmed within you? You're just overwhelmed by the situation, whatever it might be. It's just overwhelming to me. When he was in that condition, he said he recognized this. Then thou knewest my path. He knew that God understood where he was. Where in the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me? The enemy's coming after me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He was left alone. He had to defend himself. Amen. Talk about being down and out, and you have an army chasing you, a physical army, and you're left by yourself. You're going to feel this way. There was nobody there. And he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Amen. We need to recognize that today. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Have you ever found or felt yourself being in a situation like that? You're just crying out to God, and it doesn't seem like God is answering you, and you plead with him, God, attend to my cry. Pay attention to what I'm saying. This is not a good situation, and it's going to be the end of me. I'm just not going to be able to make it. And David said, I've been brought very low. Deliver my soul from my persecutors. They're stronger than what I am. I'm coming to the end of the line. It's not looking good. And then David in the last verse here, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. In what prison was he in? Amen. He was in a prison of bondage. Everybody was against him. Everything was against him. He was all alone. Have you ever felt that way in your life? You felt like you were standing alone. Everybody and everything is against you. You might talk to another Christian brother or sister. Amen. Something you feel God speaking to you about, and they put you down. You're standing alone. Nobody wants to stand in faith with you. And David was in that situation. He said, bring my soul out of prison. Don't be a prisoner to yourself. Amen. Many people are a prisoner to themselves. Don't be a prisoner of your past. I can't do thus and so. Because, and then they'll give a reason for something that happened in the past. I can't do that because of this past experience, of that bad past experience. Don't become a prisoner of your past. Amen. God's a God of impossibilities. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be mighty. You don't have to have a great testimony where you can stand up and say, man, I went out and I laid hands on the sick and I raised the dead and I cast out devils and I did many things for God. You might not be able to say any of those things. You don't have to say any of those things. Amen. Because God, it's by God's power and strength and might that I, and he said, why would I do this? That I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And why did he want to do this? He said, the righteous, I want to praise your name. God, I want to bring praise to your name. And right now with everything that's going on, it's awfully hard to praise your name. But I want it to become a reality. And he says, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. God would surround him with righteous people. God would surround him with people that understood his situation. There are people that God wants to surround you in the situation that you are in. God can surround you with people that understand your situation, and they can help you in the situation that you're facing. I might not be that person. The one sitting next to you might not be that person, but there is somebody that God can send your way that can understand your situation, that they can be a help to you, that they can minister to you. And there's times where God's going to take you and put you to help somebody else in a situation that they're facing. I might not be able to help them. You might not be able to help them, but there's somebody that can help them. Amen. So we're never in a hopeless, helpless situation. God understands, and he has somebody to help us no matter what situation you're facing today. God understands, and there's an individual that God will send along your way to encourage you and not to discourage you. Some people, when they're down and out, they just revel in being that one that can put the last nail in the coffin. I can really see seal this up for them. Yeah, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for your situation. There's no way you're going to get out of this mess that you're in. There's too many of those kinds of people. We need to be encouragers one to another. So God did surround him with righteous people. Amen. And God responded to his faith. And he surrounded him with these 400 men that we talked about today. And if you would find yourself in a dire situation, and all of a sudden you find yourself surrounded with people that are misfits, what are you going to think? God, what are you doing to me? This can't be an answer to prayer. I've been praying, and all you're sending to me is people that have troubles and troubles more than I have troubles. God, how can you work in this? But God responded. Amen. And later on, it was 600 men who had little to offer. And so who really were these men? They were outlaws. What's an outlaw? Somebody can't pay a debt. They're an outlaw. Amen. They're coming after you. They're an outlaw. They couldn't pay their debts. They were bankrupt. They were discontented. These were people that were under pressure. They were stressed and in need. Life was very bitter to these people that were surrounding David. Do you find yourselves sometimes surrounded by people that are very bitter because of the things that have happened in their life? Now, generally speaking, a younger person's not going to be bitter. There are some out there because of things that have happened. They're bitter already at a young age. But when you get a little bit older, you'll run across people that are very bitter people, and you find yourself surrounded by them. You're thinking, my Lord, what can I do to help these people? God can use them in the army of the Lord. Like David was, he became a captain over them. What's your mission field? God sending across your path. We want God just to send us people that have it going on, people that are wealthy, people that have an education, but God might not be sending people that way. We need to analyze what is being sent our way. Amen. David saw an opportunity to help them. Amen. David saw an opportunity to help them, and God uses everybody. God wants everybody in his army, and we need to look at people that come in our paths, across our ways, and we need to look at them, and we need to take them, and we need to help them, and we can see that we have an opportunity to help these people. I can take this person that has a shattered life, and I'm not saying you're doing it in your own power, so please don't misunderstand me, and you can take that person that's not respectable, and you can turn them into a respectable person in society and within the church. God can give you the ability to do that. David did that with these people. They were turned into mighty men. These ones that we read about, how the horrible condition that they were in, and in essence and reality, they became a special force of David. There were 600 of them, and they escaped, as you can read through the story and see. And these 600 were able to escape from an army of 3,000 men, of Saul's army. These 600 men were able to escape. That's what God does when we get God in the formula. We need to let God learn to let God fight our battles. In Philippians chapter 1, we're going to see what God does. Philippians 1, 26 and 27, it says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming is to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I have come and see you or else be present, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to stand together. We can do this together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can make that plural. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Amen. We can see this church filled up. It can come to the point where we can see a need to have a bigger building. It can come to a point where we could have the need to have a building project, to build a bigger facility. We can do that through Christ. Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. We have to let Jesus into the situation. We have to let Jesus into our life. Ephesians chapter 2. We're not going to read all of the verses, I don't believe, but we're going to look here a little bit. Amen. At a couple of the verses in the first part of Ephesians chapter 2. And it says this, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's quickened us. We're saved. We belong to God. We have an understanding. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We once were just as bad as they were. How is it that one gives their life to Christ and they start to be a follower of Christ? They all of a sudden think they're so much better than everybody else. Oh, I've been spiritually enlightened. I'm so much better with them. Now I want to have no communication with them. I don't want to rub elbows with them. I don't want to go to places that they go. And some of the things they do, no, we shouldn't want to do. But we need to realize that we were one time in that same condition. And it's only by the mercy and the grace of God, amen, that we've been able to have that our hearts made right with God in our way, on our way to the kingdom of heaven, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. This was us. We were this way in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, God took a bunch of misfits and he made them worthy. Amen. There's songs that we sing. He made me worthy. We're worthy because of him. It's not because of my education. It's not because of my economic status. It's not because of the house I live in. None of that matters. Amen. God just takes man and he makes in him a new creation, a new man. And there's no offenses with God. God doesn't look at somebody and say, I don't want them in my family. They don't got nothing to offer me. But we do that as people. We need to be very careful. We need to go to the lowly. We need to go to the brokenhearted. We need to go to the poor. Well, why would we want them around our church? They're going to be nothing but a burden to the church. Bring them in and see what God will do with them. Amen. Because it's not our worry. Amen. It's God's work. God will take care of them. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Amen. He has done so much for me. And I like that little song that maybe we'll sing it later. I don't know if we will. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. How many of us could honestly say, when we came into the kingdom of God, I had so much to offer God. God's kingdom wouldn't be able to go without me. Oh, we need to be careful with those thoughts. Amen. But there's many people that tend to think that way. We have to realize the lowly of the low, the misfits that are out there, we are no better than what they are. We are just saved by the mercy of God, because God takes those misfits and he finds a place for them in his army. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just a few verses there. Verse 26, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty after the flesh, not many noble after the flesh are called. But God, what does he do? He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, in things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God chooses the base things. God doesn't go out there. And I like how it says this here. It says it in verse 26. You're calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh are called. Wise people, knowledgeable people, educated people, not many of them are even able to comprehend the simplicity of salvation. They can't do it. Amen. Not many mighty men, not many noble, those that have status in society. God can call them, but not many of them come into the kingdom of God. But God chose the weak things. It says in verse 27, of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world. God's looking for a willing heart. When Jesus, in the book of John, when Jesus met that woman at the well, she was a misfit. She didn't even fit into the society that she was living in. And Jesus says to man, you've had five husbands, and the man you're now with isn't even your husband. And she come out about the noon hour of the day to draw water. And history tells us the reason you draw water in the morning, early morning, and you draw it in the late evening. You don't come out at noontime to draw water. We had the opportunity to be in Haiti. When we were doing missions work, I was over there about 2 weeks, and we was right near the city well, the city drawing place where they would come and get water because they didn't have running water in their houses. You would see them lined up in the morning out there. You would see them lined up in the late evening out there. But at noonday, you didn't see anybody over there getting water. So this woman was out there at noonday because she was a misfit. And when Jesus seen her coming, he's a man. He's there by himself, and she's of a type of people that the Jews had no dealings with. You would think that Jesus would get up and remove himself from her, as many Christians would do today. We're holier than thou. You know, I don't want to be corrupted by you. You're a vile, you're a wicked person. I'm going to move away from you. But Jesus sat right there, and he ministered onto her. He started a conversation with her, and long story short, at the end, and some say it this way, she's the first recorded missionary in the Bible. And how's that? Because when after Jesus touched her life and talked to her, she went into the town and she told all the men that were in the town, and I use that word loosely, I don't know if it's all the men, but she told the men that were in the town, come out and see a man that told me all things that I ever did. She was excited about what God did. She became a messenger for the Lord, and I believe her life was changed completely. Jesus chose her. Who are you blocking out with this message of salvation? Who do you find yourself avoiding? You don't want to be around them. You might know somebody that has a serious drug addiction, and you're just are frustrated. You don't know what to do. So the best thing to do, we think at times, I'll just avoid them. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm around them. What, do you know somebody that is bound by alcohol, that's an alcoholic, and they come around your house, and you're thinking, I'm not going to answer my door. I don't want to deal with them today. Those are the people that need Jesus. Amen. They're the people that need Jesus. We have this message that we have to give them. God doesn't reject anybody. And some of those people, when they come into the kingdom of God and they give their hearts to God, many of them today become great soul winners for the Lord. You hear the testimonies. Years back, we had the opportunity. I don't think they come into the area anymore, but we would have a group come in from the Teen Challenge Center. If you understand that ministry, it's all around the country, and it's people that were once bound by drugs and alcohol. They would stand up here and give their testimonies how God had delivered them, how God had set them free, and they're able to see many people coming into the kingdom of God because of the testimony that they had. Amen. God uses and wants the undesirables. We naturally, we all have people, acquaintances in our life that are undesirables, and we will go to extremes to avoid them. God doesn't avoid undesirables. God wants the undesirables in his army. And so for us today, what does it say to us? Amen. We have the Holy Spirit within us today. Amen. And we can achieve the impossible for the kingdom of God because he's within us. He leads and he guides us into all truths. I just don't go out there and everybody I see, I'm talking to them about Jesus. But acquaintances and people that come across my path, they then are my responsibility. People that come across your path, they are your responsibility. Are there going to be those that stand before God in that great white throne judgment? And it's going to be acquaintances that you had that you never mentioned to them anything about the kingdom of God, anything about the need for salvation. And I'm just being hypothetical. And they're going to stand before God in a lost condition. And they're going to turn and they're going to point at you and say, you were my friend and you never told me about this eternity thing. You never told me about salvation. We can think of 101 reasons why we don't tell people. They're going to laugh at me. They're not going to believe it. But the least that we can do is warn them. Let them know that there's a God that loves them and that cares about them. Amen. The disciples of Jesus, what did they do? They went into hiding at the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. They were hiding. Amen. But when God really got a hold of them. They arose in Acts chapter 2 with boldness and with power. Peter was the one that stood up and gave the big sermon in Acts chapter 2. You can read that. He did it with boldness. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't apologizing anymore. But before that, Peter could almost be looked at as a misfit. He could have looked at his past and said, I can't stand up and say anything to these people. I denied Jesus not one time or two times. I denied him three times in the same night. And I did this, and I failed here, and I failed there. Don't let your past failures stopping you from doing and being what God wants you to be today. Peter had every right to do that, if anybody has a right. So your past failures, you have to let bygones be bygones. Amen. When the Spirit of God comes up on you, you have to stand in power and might and speak for him. In Peter and John, we have the example in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 4 where they went to the temple of the gate. Amen. That man, he said, give us something. He asked alms of them. They said, we don't have any silver. We don't have any gold, but what we do have, we give to you. And I don't think they thought about this beforehand, had it pre-planned what they were going to do. It just happened at that moment. You don't need to pre-plan. You don't know when God's Spirit is going to move on you, and you're going to be anointed by God to say something as bold as they did. They said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And they rose up and walked. Amen. And these people beforehand were misfits. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we're not turning there because of time. Verses 15 through 17, Nehemiah was working with a sword in one hand, and he was building with the other hand. You might have to work with a sword in one hand, and you can be building with the other hand. The point is, we all need to be busy in the kingdom of God, doing what God wants us to do. Amen. Not David didn't get to select who he wanted in his army. We don't get to select who is going to join up with us. I believe it's God ordered. It's God's will. It's the divine will of God that certain people are going to connect with you. They might not connect with me, but they're going to make a connection with you. And you're going to think, why am I surrounded by these kind of people? Because God wants you to be the captain over them. He wants you to lead them into the kingdom of God. He wants you to show them the way that they should walk. Amen. And so if you take steps of faith, any step of faith you take, you are going to face opposition. David was facing opposition. It's not going to be easy. Just because I say I'm going to do this, it's going to be easy to go do it. You're going to face opposition. People will rise up. Amen. And there's going to be giants that block your way. But progress must not be defeated. We're going to move forward in God. And so, in closing this morning, we're thinking about misfits. God needs misfits. God needs everybody. He wants the mighty. He wants the noble. He wants the rich. He wants the educated. But they tend to think they don't need God. They can do it without God. But the lowly, those that don't have anything, those are the kind that God reaches out to. And you this morning, the situation that you find yourself in, you might think, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. Preacher, you don't know my past. You don't know all I've been involved in. Surely God can't use me. Surely God can use you and wants to use you. Amen. And let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Sister Bonnie can come down. Let's sing that song, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. What it is you have to make yourself available to God. Make yourself willing. God, I'm willing. Whoever you send my way, I'm going to be a captain over them. I'm going to show them a better way to go. God might send a bunch of, like what people like to say, filthy, dirty, rotten sinners into your home, into your life. Why do I find myself surrounded with all these people? They don't have anything, but God wants you to be the captain over them, because God doesn't put anybody out. Amen. Whosoever will can come into the kingdom of God. All we have to do is want God. All we have to do is be willing servants. Amen. And David, he cried out in his distress. So if you're distressed about something this morning, David knew that God knew the situation that he was in. And David knew that God could do whatever he wanted to do. But that didn't stop David from crying out to God. Many times we don't cry out to God because we think, well, God sees me. He knows. I know he's able. And he can do what he will. But God wants us to cry out to him. Amen. Let's sing this song this morning. Make yourself available to God. I'm